So welcome to the Ohio Writers Guild, and this is our very first mastermind series. And so today we are talking about all about publishing. And that's where we have to start, because before you start writing, you have to kind of, well, I don't suppose you have to start here, but it's a great place to start because you know how to slant your writing if you already know how you're going to publish at the other end. If your goal is to just get from A to Z, and you're going to write your manuscript and then you're going to get it published, it's great to start with how you're going to get published. But please don't let that stop you. If you have a story and you start getting it down on paper, start getting your manuscript put together. Because again, how many takes is it for a manuscript? When I wrote How to Speak, Lead, and Impact, my first manuscript, started in a series of maybe 10 versions before the final version was published. So I probably had 10 different versions of the manuscript before I was done. And I think that's pretty common. Am I correct, Sandy, when you're writing? Yeah, because you're going to do a manuscript awesome. And you're going to edit and you're, you know, and then you're going to edit again. So don't not write just because you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to publish, so I have to not do anything till I figure that out. So don't let it stop you. Start your manuscript, because you've got a lot of versions of your manuscript before you get to the publishing phase. So don't let that stop you. But today we are going to talk about the different ways to get published. So of course, the very first way to get published is traditional, the traditional way. And you're going to take your manuscript and you're going to submit it to all of these different traditional publishers, and they're going to pick up the tab, see? And they might even pay you for your manuscript. Many times they do. And at that point, they're going to be very picky. So you're going to get a lot of no's before you get a yes. And if you've decided that you are going to publish traditionally, do not do anything online. Don't put part of your book out in Facebook. Don't put part of your book out in a blog post. Don't put part of your book out in a self-published ebook, because a traditional publisher wants first dibs. If they discover that you're published anywhere online, ebook style, blog, or whatever, that could bump you out of being traditionally published, because they want first dibs on all of they want that material to be new and fresh, that no one has seen it yet. And so that's traditional publishing. And there is a lot of traditional publishers out there. We've interviewed a few on our free Ohio Writers Guild meetups. When we meet up for our free interviews, we have had some publishers that we've interviewed. So that's number one, is traditional. And we're going to share a little bit about how that works and the pros and cons. The second is to self-publish. Everybody can be published these days. You just self-publish. And there's, again, a lot of pros and cons, and we're going to go into that. But when you self-publish, you have total control. You decide when you're going to publish, how you're going to publish. And if you don't like what an editor wants you to do with your book, you're like, no, I don't like that. I'm not changing that. I'm self-publishing, and this is what I want to write, and I'm going to publish it like this. And so you can self-publish all day long. And there's platforms where you can do that. Now, there's a little bit of a learning curve, you know, and the problem a lot of times when you self-publish something into an ebook, you know, you upload it into Amazon or Kindle or whatever to get published, you're going to print on demand. And the disconnect there between a traditional publisher and a self-published book is that oftentimes when you self-publish, you haven't done all the steps. You don't have the ISBN number. You don't have the things that the big box stores require in order to put your book on their shelf. So the Barnes and Nobles, they're not going to put your book out there on their shelf. And even Amazon, unless you have an ISBN number where it can be returned, and you know, there's some criteria there. And of course, there's all kinds of things that you have to kind of figure out. You have to figure out your cover design. You have to figure out how you're going to edit it. You have to figure out, you know, whether you're going to have a foreword or not, and what the inside back cover is going to say. And so you have to kind of learn to be a publisher if you're going to self-publish. And so a lot of folks say, well, that sounds great because I have total control. But wow, I don't hardly have time to write my darn book, let alone figure out how I'm going to do all of those publishing components, you know, with cover design and back cover design and ISBN number and how I'm going to get it marketed and how I'm going to get it out into the Barnes and Nobles and how even to get it into the public libraries. And they're thinking, whoo, that's like a full-time job. And so that brings us to what's called vanity publishers. Now, vanity publishers is a hybrid between traditional publishing and self-publishing. And what they're saying is let us do all the heavy lifting for you. We're going to help you with your cover design and blah, 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 and with your ISBN number. And we're going to help you, you know, rank in number one status when you get published. We're going to help you do all of that, but it's going to cost you some money. And so here's where you have to do your due diligence. Because vanity publishers have gotten a bad rap over the years. And here's why. Several of them have presented themselves as traditional publishers, but they're not. But they've presented themselves as traditional publishers. And so you think, oh my gosh, you know, I've submitted my manuscript. I've gotten all of these no's. And now I've got a publisher that's interested in my book. And so you're so darned excited that, you know, you sign on the dotted line. And then you find out down the road that, well, you have to pay to have it edited. You have to pay more to get the ISBN number. You have to pay again to get the cover design. You have to pay a fourth time to, you know, to get your foreword written. And all of a sudden you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to cost me an arm and a leg. Whereas a traditional publisher is paying you. But again, they're out of millions of books. They're only picking a handful. And so If you definitely want to get published and that's your end goal, then choosing a vanity publisher is not a bad thing, but just make sure that you do your due diligence on these vanity publishers. And so that brings us to a fourth term called hybrid publishers. And so the vanity publishers getting the bad rap, some of those folks have said, what we're doing is a legitimate business. We are above board. We're not scamming these authors. We make everything transparent up front on what we offer and for what price. We can deliver on our promises, and we're a hybrid publisher. We're not a traditional. We're basically going to help these authors self-publish because we're going to do a lot of the heavy lifting for them so that they can concentrate on their writing. We're going to concentrate on getting the book looking like a book and getting it out in either electronic format, an ebook, or in an actual paperback or hardbook cover. And we're going to do all the hard lifting. So that brings us to the fact that an organization has been developed that has the standards for these hybrid publishers. So if you're going to choose a hybrid version, then make sure that they adhere to the rules, the code of conduct that these hybrid publishers need to abide by. And the main one is just transparency, so that you as an author know exactly what you're getting for the amount of money that you're spending. And again, it's not a bad thing. I published with a hybrid and I love that I did because I knew, you know, again, I like to say this, and Debbie and Sandy both know my story, is I knew that I wanted to get published. I wasn't sure even the topic, the material, and it was just overwhelming to think, what am I going to write? And how am I going to write? And how many years of that is it going to take for me to get a book published? And so when, again, I was just talking to Sandy earlier that I like to wake up every morning and start my day on Clubhouse with Wendy Bloom Weiss, and she's in the Speaker Society. And when Wendy announced last year that she was going to hold hands with a hybrid publisher, Patricia Wooster of Wooster Publishing, so shout out to Wendy and a shout out to Patricia. When she said she was going to hold hands with Patricia and they were going to do a collaborative book, and it was all about how to speak, lead, and impact. And each author only needed to write one chapter, and that their guarantee was that we would come out in number one on Amazon when we published. And it was a flat fee to do that. And they would do all of the editing, they would do the cover design, they would do the ISBN number, they would do all the uploading, they would do all of it. And all I had to do was submit one chapter. So it didn't take me long to think about that, because I thought, you know what, if I don't do that a year from now, I'll still be sitting here going, oh, I wish I were published. And so I said, you know what? It was a little pricey. It was a little pricey. I mean, we're talking, you know, 5,000-ish. And so it was a little pricey, but I thought, you know what? What would it cost me if I tried to do all of this myself? What if, and so I just kind of did a little research project. Well, what if I had to hire somebody to do a cover design? What if I had to hire somebody to do the editing? What if I had to figure out how to file and get my ISBN number? What if I had to figure out how many hours was it going to take me just to figure out how to upload the darn thing into Kindle? You know, so it's all of those things. And so I said, you know what, or I could write a check and I could get on this train while it's going by, because it's going to go by and they're going to publish and they're going to be whatever they're going to be, you know, at the other end, whether I get on the train or not. And because somebody will take that spot. So I decided to do it because I just wanted to get myself out there. And on Amazon, once you become a number one selling author, you get the little logo that now you can put everywhere. You're allowed to put it on your Facebook page. You can put it on your website. You can use that. And if no other book you ever write ever comes out number one, you are a number one selling author once you hit that category one time. And so that was one of the guarantees, see, and as this train was going by, one of the guarantees was that this hybrid publisher could, you know, make us all number one authors. And I thought, well, I don't know if she can or can't. I'm not sure exactly how that works. But for me, again, I knew exactly what I was getting. And I also knew that if I didn't become a number one selling author, I would still be published. And my question to myself was, is it still worth the money that I'm spending to do that? And I decided that it was. And plus, and I paid extra. I don't think everyone in the book paid the same amount I did, because if you bought the VIP, and again, it's a marketing thing for the hybrid publisher. If you bought the VIP, then she would also allow you to have an author page on Amazon. Because again, Wendy and Patricia were the authors. We were all the co-authors. But if you paid a VIP, the VIP folks could also have an author page. And I get that. They have control. The hybrid has control of the book. I get that. And for me, it wasn't about making money off the book. And again, somebody asked me the other day, they said, oh, well, I want to buy the book directly from you so you make money. And I'm like, well, all the proceeds of the book go to Habitat for Humanity, which is right up my alley, because my biggest passive income is real estate investing. And so I love that they're building homes for less fortunate. And so I said, you know what, that's perfect. I love it. I'm on board. And everyone in the book got to vote on, you know, where the proceeds went to. So it's a win-win-win. Everybody in the whole project was a winner. And we launched September 6th of 2022, and we came out number one in 13 categories. Mm-hmm. Number one in 13 categories. So talk about over-delivering. She promised number one. We were number one in 13 categories. Now, the advantages there to a hybrid publisher is that number one, I knew I was going to get published. That was never in debate. I knew I was going to get published. Whereas with a traditional publisher, I might be still sending out manuscripts, trying to get one to pick me up. And a self-publisher, yeah, my manuscript would probably be at the bottom of the pile on my desk saying, someday I'm going to do that. And so with a hybrid publisher, number one, I knew I was going to get published. Number two, I had a very good chance of being a number one selling author, because that was part of her guarantee. So she definitely over-delivered there. Number three, it was a collaborative effort. And the reason that we did so well in 13 categories was because there were several of us pushing the cart in the same direction. It wasn't just little old me out there peddling my little book. See, we had a whole group of authors that they were all pushing the cart in the same direction. There were public stage appearances, there were book signings, there, you know, I mean, there was tons of stuff, and all of us were doing those things. And so again, you know, that what is the saying? If you want to go fast, go alone. And if you want to go far, go in a team. Well, we had a team. And so we crossed the finish line in record speed. And so those are just, and number four, even though it costs some money, all of the book was done for me. All I did was submit my portion, and this hybrid publisher did the editing. She did the book design. We all got to vote. We all got to vote on the cover. We all got to vote on, you know, all the things that went into the book. It was definitely a collaborative effort. So she included our voices in everything that went into the book, but it was just some of those guarantees is what made it worthwhile. So all I'm saying is there's no wrong way to publish, but now, because I've published that my story there, a traditional publisher will probably not pick up my story because it's already been published. You see where I'm going with that? So if you want to go the traditional route, don't publish anywhere else. And we learned that because, you know, we've interviewed a couple of traditional publishers on the Ohio Writers Guild. And they said, if we find it's published anywhere, we turn down the manuscript because we want first dibs. If we're going to put all of our money and effort and marketing and everything into it, we want first dibs. So just know that. So I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to show everyone where to get this information that might be listening. And so when you go to, here is the Kathy Benner International Academy, and I click through on this course and it still says coming soon. This is our first meetup of the mastermind. And so I'm just now getting all of my content into the course. And so those of you that are on the call, you have access to this already. And number one is choosing a publishing route. And so when I come down here to choosing a publishing route and I start that, here is where you can find that information. So there's three main routes to publishing. Again, they're traditional. Again, that's the holy grail for writers on the path to publication. And so again, this tells you all about traditional. Then we get into the self-publishing, and it's becoming more and more common, especially with ebooks. And and by the way, the book that I was the collaborative author in that I was just talking about, we are just as we speak, we're now getting it into Audible. We have a gal that we've, again, collectively chosen, and she is now reading through all the stories and turning it into an Audible version because that's huge. I love Audible, by the way. I listen to books oftentimes while I'm either doing my workout or, as many of on this call know, I run a bed and breakfast. And when I'm flipping rooms, I can listen to a book. And I probably, as they say, read, even though I'm sometimes listening instead of reading, I probably go through two or three books a week that way. And I love it because I can consume a lot of content, you know, because making beds is kind of a mindless thing when you run a bed and breakfast. So anyway, I'll just toss that out there. So we are getting on Audible. So that's important because there's a whole population, there's a whole community that does nothing but listen to books. And so I think it's important that you're there. And so anyhow, first-time authors, this is great. Again, the drawback with self-publishing is that you're taking the whole financial burden and marketing of your book. And so the only difference, see, is then you get into these vanity presses. Be careful. Make sure you get one that's not a scam or that's telling you they're traditional when they're not. And which brings us down to the hybrid. And the hybrid publishing is simply a vanity publisher with more scruples. A reputable hybrid publisher will adhere to the Independent Book Publishers Association. It's the IBPA standards. And so that's what you want to make sure is that if you're going to use a vanity publisher or a hybrid, then hybrids do not want to be called vanity publishers because they're like, we are not, we're, you know, and they have a great spot. Just like I said, I chose one for all the reasons I just explained. So they have there's a place for the hybrid publisher in there. But just make sure, you know, that you're not getting scammed. And so with traditional publishing, the publishers buy the manuscripts and then they go through the whole thing. And then self-publishing, you're paying for everything to go through the process. And in a hybrid, don't forget, the hybrid not only is doing all the work for you, but they want to make money too. So you're probably going to pay a little more to do a hybrid publisher than what you would do to self-publish, but they're doing a lot of the heavy lifting for you. And so you have to decide, is it worth the cost to pay somebody else to do that heavy lifting for me? Okay. And then there's some shared cost. Again, the big thing with hybrid is just make sure you know what you're getting. Make sure you know what you're paying for and what they're promising in return, because they're all different. So in a nutshell, here you have the traditional publisher, and over here you have the self-publishing, and there's a million and one hybrids in between. Okay. And so if you're going to choose one, just make sure that you're getting what you're paying for. Okay. So that's the big thing there. So here is this standards of a reputable hybrid publisher. If you scroll down in the course, you can actually click on that. There is a link there, and it comes up right here, the IBPA hybrid publisher criteria. And it's here's the URL at the top, the IBPA-online.org. And so, but there's a link right in the course, and it'll tell you more about a hybrid publisher and if they pass the test, so to speak, of what it is that you want them to do. So that there is a way to double check if you find a vanity publisher that you want to double check against the standards. There's a way you can do that. Now, reality, a lot of those vanity publishers and the hybrid publishers, they're not concerned with quality because they're making money off of you signing on to get your book published. And so again, that's where you want to make sure you have a relationship with that publisher. And because, and we teach this in our Build a Better Business course, relationships are everything. In business, relationships are everything. It's all about building relationships. And because I had a relationship with Wendy and I knew her heart when she said, I'm going to hold hands with Patricia on this publishing project, I felt confident that I could use Patricia Wooster with Wooster Publishing because of Wendy's recommendation. So sometimes it's as simple as just building those relationships. And like I said, Patricia definitely delivered. So I have zero complaints. Now, for those of you that know me, also know that I am connected with Carrie Oberbrunner, who does Igniting Souls Publishing. And again, he has the right heart. And now his is different. And here's, and I'm just going to give you a little overview. With Patricia, just as an example, because there's, again, a million and one hybrids in there. So you do not have to choose Patricia or Carrie at all. I'm just using them as examples. But Patricia did everything for us. Because keep in mind, if I paid that amount of money and there were 20 co-authors in the book, 20 of us paid her that kind of money. So she made some money on publishing that book, but she did all the work. I mean, she literally did all the work. Now, with Carrie, you know, he's going to help you for that same amount of money, just publish your book. You don't have to share the spotlight with 19 other authors. Your book gets published for that same kind of money. But he then shows you the steps and he guides you on how you can do your cover design. And the editing is not included. It's extra. But again, it's all what you pay for, and just know what you're getting. But by the time you're finished with Carrie's program, you can go back and publish book after book after book after book because he's taught you the steps. Whereas with Patricia, I don't know any more about publishing a book than I did before I signed on with her, because I just basically handed her my manuscript and she did all the work. So you see my point. All of these hybrids all bring something else to the table. So just make sure that you do your homework on how much of the work do you want to do versus what you're willing to pay someone else to do. And so just keep that in mind as you're researching all of these hybrids. Be careful when approached by companies that you haven't heard of. So just be careful, because there's still those vanity scammers out there. So just be careful. So when it comes into distribution, sales, and marketing, things are going to be a little different depending on how you publish. And the problem here is that hybrid published books are much harder to market compared to self-publishing. The hybrid published authors don't earn enough on sales to be able to run ads or invest money. And meanwhile, the publishers also has limited resources put towards the marketing purposes. So unlike traditional publishers, hybrid presses only make 50% on sales. So they have a little incentive to boost your sales. Again, depends on what your goal is with your book. If you want to make money and turn writing into a living, and that's your income, you know, and you want to be Nora Roberts and write so many novels a year and self-publish those, or hold hands with a publisher that knows that you are very, very famous and very, very popular with your readership, you could make a living just off of publishing books. But that was not my goal. See, I was kind of stuck knowing that I wanted to get published, and just, you know, I mean, at my age, I thought if I don't do it soon, I'm gonna miss the boat. And so that's why, you know, my analogy is, you know, as that train was going down the track, I simply decided I better get on. So again, it depends on what your goal is at the other end. Once you're published, if you want to be a number one published author, and you don't have the time, you don't have the skill set, you don't really want to bring yourself up to speed on all the self-publishing, you don't think you want to go through all the rejection of going through traditional publishers till you find one to pick up your manuscript, then maybe a hybrid is good for you. But again, maybe that's not your end goal. So that's all I'm saying is just kind of decide, which is why this is the first topic in this writer's mastermind, is think about how you want to be published. And again, I'm not saying it's carved in stone and that you don't want to come back and revisit it, but just make sure that you have an understanding of what's out there, so that you kind of know where you're headed with your manuscript. Okay. Is that helpful? So in traditional publishing, the pros, it gives you the confidence that your writing is good enough to be published. It's easier to get your books in the stores and shops. You have a professional team to back you. You have literary prizes are more likely, but publishers take a percentage of your book sales. It's a slow process. You don't have much control over the process, and they only take on work that they believe is good enough, and there's low royalty rates. Now, in self-publishing, you have control over the whole process. You have the possibility to make more money. Publishing houses are likely to take more notice of self-published books. You have higher royalties, but it's kind of difficult because you have to wear all the hats. Sometimes it's isolating. You know, how many hours are you going to spend, you know, in your office or in your writing nook putting this together? And you may find that bookshops won't accept your self-published books unless you have all the right stuff in place, like the ISBN number and all that. So you have to decide whether up here, whether traditional publishing is for you, or down here, whether self-publishing is for you, or whether you're just going to do a hybrid in between. Okay, so I'm going to stop sharing and conversation. Sandy, what are your comments or takeaways from this today?
Well, well-researched there. In all that. And it's true. It depends on what you want to do. And people go toward the vanity and the hybrid for the exact same reasons that you're saying they do. An agent, if you're going the traditional route, an agent takes 15% of whatever you make. Traditionally, that number has been the same for a long, long time. And you might hear of people getting, $50,000 advances or $150,000 advances or $5,000 advances. But that just means that your books have to sell $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 before you see those royalties. So that's why royalties, sometimes you see them and sometimes you don't. There are, going a traditional route, there are a lot of publishing houses, not just the big five. There were big five. It's now big four because Penguin was bought out by some Simon & Schuster, I think. So now we're down to four. But there's a lot of small presses, universities. A lot of big universities have their own presses. But sometimes they will have things like agented submissions only. So they will only see something that an agent has gotten from you if you sign on with an agent. So those are those tangles. Some of those places, however, will have an open submission window in which you don't have to have an agent. You just give them your manuscript however they want. You really have to look at their website to see what are they looking for. The first five pages, first five chapters, 50 pages in all. And then you send them following their directions exactly. And you can go that route too. If you're working with that hybrid or vanity and you're still in question, there are some lawyers out there who specialize a variety of things, but they know a little bit about writing contracts. So that might be the place to go. And, you know, it's true about self-publishing. I know a lot of self-publishers. I know a lot of romance writers who are self-publishers because I hang around a lot of romance writers. And once it's a learning curve. Once it's achieved, it's fine. Some never have a print book. And some do pay for their own print books because, you know, it's really sad to kind of sign a postcard as opposed to signing a book or autographing a book. So there's that traditional value too. But it is a lot of work. And you do pay money in that way too. You should get a professional edit, somebody to look at your work. Mm-hmm. If you're not comfortable with grammar, that'd be one. But definitely if it's your first book, how your story flows, how the plot flows, will that capture the interest of the reader and keep him, her, or them to the end? So yeah, you know, everything's money, 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 money. But in self-publishing, you get it all. You're selling that. You see a lot of books sold for 99 cents or $1.50 or $5 or more. Self-published, you get it all. And if you go with an agent, you still may only get 99 cents because everybody has their hand in the pot. But it's your agent who's doing the knocking on the doors and sending your manuscript here and there to all the kinds of publishing companies. And a lot of writers, man, they just want to tell their story. Uh-huh. And they don't want to knock on doors like a Fuller Brush person. So they'll do that for you. But I know a lot of writers who drop their agents after a while and try somebody else because that agent they don't think is working hard enough for them. So everything has its drawbacks. You talk about collaboration. You could do that in fiction as well. I know a handful of authors who are two sisters or two best friends or mother, son, and that helps a little bit too. If you like to write with other people, that's for sure. So yeah, all of them have their drawbacks. And I'm really interested, Debbie, in what you do write and what you are thinking of doing. So, but yeah.
Sandy, thank you so much for that. Such great insight. And I knew you would have lots of insight. Sandy is my co-host, co-mon for this particular mastermind. So she's going to be with us through the series. So Sandy, thank you so much for that. Debbie, what are your thoughts? I know that was a lot of information. I know you're in the middle of writing your manuscript at the moment. And what are your thoughts?
Yes. Mind blowing.
I know it's a lot of stuff.
And Sandy, the you filled in some such great information that Kathy was sharing. I mean, I had no idea, nothing. I'm so new at this. It is. And I don't want to have to think about costs, but yet I know that's an important fact. And I have a storyboard so that I'm using so that I can keep track. Mm-hmm. And I am right now today setting up my little niche where I'm going to put the table, put the laptop that I'm using and be able to have all my notes. It's like when people say they sew or do crafts, they don't want to have to pick up after every use.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that, you know, even in this, that's very true, because that's what I've been doing so far. And it like takes half a day to get back into it where you left off. Yeah. And
well, you lose your flow. Yeah. You lose your flow and you know, and you have to get back in your genius zone again before you can start writing again.
Exactly. And, you know, that doesn't, you know, when you have, you know, distractions and stuff like that, that's not fun.
Well, we're going to cover a lot of those topics as we go through this mastermind, because we're going to meet, and I always have to look at my calendar to make sure I say it correctly. And so we are going to be on the third Monday of every month at 12 noon. And we're going to go through the series. And so we're going to cover all those topics, and I'll share that real quick here. And then we're going to come back to Debbie and bear with me. I have to move our faces out of the way here a little bit. Trying to get back to the beginning of my teachable, see if it'll let me come back here. Yep, it's loading. So I want to give you the screen. This is the screen when you first come into the Kathy Benner International Academy. This is the first screen that you'll see. And then when you scroll down through all of my lanes, you'll see the writer's column here. And so we're right here into this mastermind. That's where we are today. And then this is the course. Now, if you sign up for the mastermind, you get the course. And so if I click on the course, just to show you, this is the stuff we're going to be covering. Choosing your publishing route was what we talked about today. But then we're going to talk about editing your draft and then getting feedback from editors, critique circles, and beta readers, titling your manuscript, formatting your book for publication, designing a book cover that converts readers, writing a publisher-ready book description, creating a book launch plan, publishing your book to online retailers, and marketing your book to increase sales. So those are some of the topics, but not all. We're going to just have a conversation. And as questions come up, we'll probably add more to the list as we have discussions. And so, Debbie, if you had to answer today, what are you leaning toward? Are you leaning toward traditional self-publishing or hybrid? And again, I'll start. I decided to do my first publication with a hybrid. And Sandy, how about you? What have you done? How you? Because you're published.
And in this case, you know, it's that community or that networking or knowing people as you did and trusting the publishers you were working with. A friend of mine worked for a publishing company. When you hear people talk about my editor, that means it's a company that has a series of editors, not agents. They're not the one, those are the people who aren't right up there with the big publishers. And this particular press, it's no longer around, unfortunately, are the company, the publishing company that makes the little books or books that you see in school libraries and reference libraries on famous people's lives. And my friend was swamped, and one of the editors from the company had said, hey, could you take on George W. Bush? And da da da. And she goes, no, but I know somebody who can. So what an odd kind of way to go about that. And so you will hear the term an editor, and that's where it's a company that doesn't go through agents necessarily. They work for that publishing company. They edit the books coming into that publishing company, and they're a niche in themselves. In this case, library books and researched reference books, mostly biographies. So that's how I came in. And I have written fiction since then and have gone the route looking for thinking and believing that the only way to a book contract was through traditional publishing. And I've been around long enough that for a good portion of my writing career, that was the only way to go, mm-hmm. besides That's magazine right. articles and so forth. And but now with self-publishing, that's a possible a possibility too. But I will add, if you're going to write more than one thing, like let's say Kathy has this chapter that she's devoted to this particular company. Kathy, if you write something else with your name attached to it and not go the same route you went with, but now your resume, so to speak, your cover letter says, well, I'm a number one on Amazon. They don't probably even care if not, and I'm not saying that, like if you did a blueberry pie recipe that won. The fact that those people up there thought you were so good at number one, you're going to make money for us too, because we want to have those yes. number one authors with us. So yes, to take her same chapter or that book and try to sell it to somebody else might not go, but no matter where you go, your reputation follows you. And Kathy will always be that number one person. So she might, if it's iffy between one or two and she's one of them, they're going to take her because she's, they could sell her better. And so that's how that works.
Yep. And that's one of the reasons, Sandy, that's one of the reasons why I decided to get on that train as it went by, because I realized that. So yes, thank you for bringing that up. So I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead. No, that's good. Debbie. Now, Debbie, are you thinking fiction or nonfiction?
No, it's actually about my life.
Well, memoir.
It's her memoir. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, memoir. And it's, I know there's no... The title that I've wanted to use since day one was, it started with a daydream. And then I came up with the tagline of from child abuse to entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that works, but that's the one I'm kind of working with right now. It's just a way for me to remember what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so, And like I said, I'm open, but the point is my memoirs, and that it's about my childhood abuse to where I am today, mm-hmm. and the travels that I've taken, and mm-hmm. how I want to be able to reach out to others that have been or are in the same position I have been. And to get them to understand that there is a life outside of the box. Mm-hmm. And from experience, that's hard to imagine, very hard to imagine. Mm-hmm. And I've become very aware to the trafficking. I mean, and I took part in something a few years ago in regards to trafficking, helping Grace Haven here in the Ohio area. So I'm very familiar with the trafficking and the things that they go through. I'm just at the level of what I went through. And so that's kind of where, mm-hmm. you know, where my thinking has been, mm-hmm. and it's open to be clarified, you know, what I need to do to clarify that. That's and cool. how to clarify it to the point where it doesn't take so many words to explain it that mm-hmm. I can get to the point and create that message with a bang.
Yeah.
So
well, Well, and Debbie and I, we've talked several times, and I think the first step for Debbie is just get your story down on paper. So it, you know, and it's going to be a work in progress. It's not going to be one and done. You're gonna write this manuscript, and then you're gonna go, oh, I forgot this part I wanted to put in, and then later as you know, you're going to edit it several different layers. You're going to edit, you know, as far as how it flows, and you're going to edit as far as content. And then you're going to just kind of keep coming down on the editing to where you're finally editing for grammar and spelling and, you know, all those little technical things. But so there's different levels of editing, and we're going to talk about that, you know, later in this mastermind as we get into the editing process. But for now, I think just getting your manuscript on paper, you know, on your computer, saved wherever you're writing, just so you start capturing the story. Mm-hmm. And again, I like your storyboard idea, because then, and again, Debbie and I have talked about this, when you remember a little anecdote that happened and you're like, oh, that would be a great little segue in my book, to bring out a certain point, you can just jot that down on a post-it note and go over to your storyboard and see where it fits into your story and exactly. stick it up there. And then that way you don't forget to include it when you get to that part of the story. So I like that. And I'm ready to start a story. Debbie has inspired me. I'm ready to start my own storyboard, because an old side note, I would love to write mystery novels. And and I already have, you know, I write inside my head all the time. And so I'm pointing all these fingers back at me, Debbie. I need to get some of my stories out on paper. I get it. But here's where I'm leaning. I'm leaning because I want to write a series of mystery novels. And so where I'm leaning is I want to learn how to self-publish. I want to learn how to wear all those hats, how to do my cover and my ISBN and my marketing. And all. I want to learn how to do all of that so that I'm not, and again, probably not maybe the right phrase, but I'm not at the mercy of a traditional publisher or a hybrid publisher as to what the storyline should be or how it should be edited or whatever. It gives me more freedom in my writing, but I want it to be good. See, so I'm going to have to pay, because I'm not a specialty in all those items, all those areas. So I'm going to have to pay to have someone help me edit when I'm ready to edit. I have to build those relationships. So it is a process. And the first step is just getting your manuscript, you know, out onto paper or into your computer, wherever it is that you're saving your manuscript, and save a backup. I've heard horror stories of writers that their computer crashed and they lost everything they did. So make sure you have a backup somewhere.
Yeah, I can't even imagine the experience that would be.
Yeah, sure. Now, you know, I'll hear in particular celebrities saying, well, this is my fourth memoir, third memoir. I go, well, how many lives have you led? So, but the idea is that they've taken, because a memoir is different from a biography. Biography, you're going to start from the day you're born. But a memoir takes a very significant part of your life and kind of presents it and explains the impact of it on you and for the reading audience. So you can, if looking at your book from page one to page 325 is daunting, think of it as, you know, maybe in this first book, I'm going to talk about this one. So as you're storyboarding, maybe just start with like, well, what if I did 10 chapters and not 20 or 25 or 50. So that's it. And yes, if you're thinking traditional at all, you have to have completed manuscript that could be printed. Because if you give them a cover letter and let's say an agent takes a look at it going, oh, wow, that's I could use that. They're going to say, I'd like to see 50 pages. Or they're going to say, I want to see the whole thing. And yes, you could say, ooh, can you give me a week or two to get that polished for you? Or even a month or two. But after that, they either are going to forget about you or somebody else is going to come down the pike. So you don't want to set that kind of message either. But if you want to look online and just say, who traditionally, what companies are representing memoir? And that would be something where it gives you an idea. You might see, oh, this agent is working with this client and that client and that client. Oh, and they're mostly about traffickers, or they're mostly about victims of, and go, oh, that person may be somebody I'm going to look into. And then that might help you steer you on, like when Kathy was saying, know where you want to go first. That might help you move for how you mold it. I mean, surely you're not going to take their story and say, oh, I like the way they said that. But it helps you when you get that thing where you're looking into the abyss and you're going, I should try to do this. Now looking for familiar things that you can clamp onto. So you're going, okay, I could do that. I could do that. And then, you know, it's like trying to learn how anything in the hybrid world, you start to know more and more about it. So, you know, in that way, and yes, there are a lot of authors who have been stymied by the fact that their whole, the agent goes knocking on all those publishing doors. Once they have a publishing company that says, we'll do that. Then that's it. Bye-bye, author. More or less, you get to know, you do get a copies and you do go through and revise them. But as far as everything else goes, you know, you don't have a whole lot of control. So yes, what Kathy says, she wants to know everything. Yeah, I could see that. And she did that very well too. But yeah, just for, if you get stuck and creating those words on the page to tell your story isn't coming as fast as you want, take a moment or two, go online, look at a couple of, put out there, agents representing nonfiction or agents representing memoir. See what you find and see what they're looking at. And hopefully somebody, it won't be the day that, and I will say this, when it does come to memoir and nonfiction, if you could do an outline of the whole book, you don't, unlike fiction, I was thinking more fiction. Unlike fiction, you don't have to have the whole manuscript done. Because when it comes to fiction, boy, the story can go either way or not at all. But they know that if there's a nonfiction person out there writing about their life, they've got a story, because the story is a person's life. You can't do much more than changing it than what it is. So you should have an outline done of how you see every chapter going. So something called a synopsis or a chapter outline would be something you might even look into before you put too many words to the page, however feels comfortable. I just don't want you to be so overwhelmed that you do absolutely nothing, because that stymies a lot of people too. You've got a story. It doesn't sound like it's an easy story to tell. So maybe doing it just by let's say you gave every chapter a title. So maybe just get those chapters, if you haven't done it already, get those chapter titles on how you see it. And there's a little other work involved, and that's your website, especially when it comes to nonfiction. You know, how do you, the agent or companies, however you're going to go, will be looking for you online. Even your fans, if you go through Kindle and create your own stories and self-publish, your fans are going to immediately, if nothing else, I don't know if you do Facebook, but if your own website is daunting, create a Facebook page just for you as an author, not necessarily you as the aunt or the uncle, the aunt or the mother or the sister or the good friend. Just, you know, whatever you're, while you're doing nonfiction, I don't think you have a pseudonym, but, you know, Debbie Marks author or author Debbie. So go that way. How would a Facebook page look? So if somebody is going to pick you up, or if you're selling your own books, you will probably need a page. And didn't you say, Kathy, that Amazon, in that you did the VIP package because you got your author page too?
Yes. And that's why I did that. And it was an extra thousand. It was $1,000 difference between being part of the collaborative author group and having the VIP. And there were several things that came with the VIP. But one of the things that came with the VIP was that I could have my own author's page on Amazon. And I realized the importance of that. And, you know, of course, then, you know, you're pinching pennies and you're like, do I want to spend the extra $1,000? Is the additional benefits worth it to me? And as soon as I saw author page on Amazon, I said yes.
Yeah.
Because that was worth the difference for me. Because now if you just go to Amazon and put in Kathy Benner, my book comes up.
Yeah.
They don't even have to have the title of the book because I now have an author's page. So one of the other things, and of course I have several lanes, which you saw as we were scrolling down the Academy page. And one of my lanes is how to build a better business. And I recommend, after we go through, you know, having our offers and building our website and putting all of that together, that the way to market, one of the ways to market is with a podcast. And so I have a podcast. Well, Amazon has picked up my podcast. And so now if you just go to Kathy Benner, it shows my book and my podcast. See, so I'm getting traction. And I didn't even know Amazon had picked up my podcast until someone goes, Kathy, I saw you have a podcast on Amazon. And I'm like, well, how did you find that? And they said, I just Googled Kathy Benner and your book and your podcast both came up. And I'm like, oh, who knew?
So, you know, speaking of you podcasts on Amazon, what are the podcasts consisting of? Actually, I should go look that up.
Well, Debbie, to answer your question, it's real easy. All of the interviews that you're doing under Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks, those could be your podcast. And once you reach a certain viewership or listenership, is more like it, and they're not viewing, they're listening. Once you reach a certain listenership, platforms will start picking up your podcast. And that's what happened. Once I got over 1,000 listens, Amazon picked up my podcast.
Wow. Okay. I'm learning so much in this first hour.
But again, it was complicated, and I don't mean to overcomplicate it, but it all works together like a big puzzle. It all just fits in there together. You know, the website, the blog, the podcast, the book, it just all kind of comes together quite beautifully. But again, it's all little parts and pieces of it that get overwhelming because you're like, I don't know how to create that. I don't know what to do with that. And the piece that I was missing was the book. See, that's the piece I was missing. I had the website, I had the podcast, I had the courses, but I was missing the book piece. And so that's why I kind of cheated and just did a hybrid. I mean, it's not really, but it's one of those things.
But you will hear a lot of negative things about vanity presses. Really?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I knew, and again, the big deciding factor for me was, you know, I'm virtually retired. We travel quite a bit. I'm running a bed and breakfast. I'm doing 8 different lanes of passive income coaching. And a year from now, am I going to be published? And the answer was probably not. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I like to say, you know, as that train was going by, I decided I was going to bite the bullet, spend the money and be a number one author, you know, at the end of the day. And that's why I did it. That's exactly my decision process. That's why I did it. But now that, again, like Sandy said, now that I have that number one logo, that I'm a number one published author, I can use that forever. And it doesn't matter if I never become a number one author again. I've reached that goal. I am a number one selling author. And mm-hmm. So now I can put that on my author page. I can put that on my Facebook author page. I can put that on my website. I can put that wherever I want to, you know, put a bio of myself. I can include that I am a number one selling author.
Yep.
And I always will be because I am. See? And so that's why again was another reason why I decided when she indicated the publisher, when she indicated that was one of her guarantees, I didn't know if she could perform that. Now I looked at her past work and those books did come out number one on more than one category. But I, again, you know, we all have kind of, you know, that scarcity mindset. And I thought, really, how's she going to take this group of haphazard authors that all have a different story? How is she going to make that into a cohesive storyline and come out number one in any category. And we ended up number one in 13 categories. Now, I will say, and this is her talent, not mine, and I want to give credit where credit's due. I mean, you know, all of us had a story and we all submitted our amazing, wonderful stories. She's the one that did the editing that made them into a cohesive book. She's the one that put together the book designs with her designers. And then we had like 10 versions to vote on, you know, so then as an author, we all got to vote. And we narrowed it down to the cover that we liked the best. And so we felt like we were a part of the whole process every step of the way. She kept us all included every step, but she definitely knows her stuff. And again, I probably would not have searched for her on the internet and put my finger on the page and said, that's the publishing company I'm going to use. It was definitely through building relationships and knowing other folks that had used her. And it's the same with Carrie. I know a ton of the authors that I interview on the Ohio Writers Guild have published through Carrie. And I believe in him. I know his heart, and I know that, you know, he was in the right place helping these folks get published, and all of them have done a wonderful job. So I have no problem recommending Carrie. And again, it's about building relationships. And so I guess the moral of the story of this first mastermind on how, you know, how you want to publish is just kind of know a little bit about the publisher, you know, do your homework, do your due diligence. And at the end of the day, you have to be comfortable with what you're going to get versus what you're going to pay in whatever area, you know, whatever level of publishing you decide to do, whether it's traditional, self, or one of the hybrids. Just do your homework, do your due diligence.
And we're here to help. Yeah. And your area, your nonfiction memoir is a very, very, and I will often talk about things from how is this going to make money? Because there are a lot of authors who write not only to tell their stories, but to make money mm-hmm. as well. And nonfiction is popular, and nonfiction memoir is very popular. Mm-hmm. However, and this is going to sound really, really horrible, there are a lot of cancer stories out there. Mm-hmm. Your topic, and where I feel your topic is something I don't know how many I have heard about with that topic. So if I'm just looking at it, how it would capture the eye of a reader, an agent, a bookstore, I think you have something going there. Mm-hmm. I give you a lot of kudos for telling a very challenging story, mm-hmm. especially because mm-hmm. you know there will be people out there, unfortunately, who criticize everything. They right. could argue about whether or not the Bengals deserved a win yesterday. But, you know, hopefully you've come through and you're going to be strong that when those people say, well, I don't, hang in there. But mm-hmm. your story is doable. Your story is sellable. Go for it. Just go for it. And, do keep in mind, like Kathy says, keep an eye out for where the end is, so you know when you're getting there, you know. So yeah.
And again, we're going to talk about some of those things in yeah. later episodes of the Mastermind, but one of the yeah. things is you have to I think kind of sit back and envision what you want your book to do for yeah. the reader. Do you want to inspire your reader, or are you just telling a story? You know, yeah. is there a moral to your story? Is there an inspirational aspect to it? And I see a strong inspirational aspect of your tagline. And mm-hmm. say your tagline again for those that might listen to this later.
From child abuse to entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. See, tons of inspiration there. Tons of inspiration.
Yeah.
Because again, one of the biggest things that I understand is that folks that have gone through that as a child feel like they don't have a voice. And you're saying you do have a voice. And not only do you have a voice, but you can actually become an entrepreneur and have your own business and excel in all areas of your life. So you do have a voice. And so I think it's strongly inspirational, and I can't wait to see, you know, can't wait to see what you do with that. So I want to say thanks for everyone that's been on today. This has been a great conversation. We went a little bit over, but it's great conversation, great material. And I just wanted to give everyone an overview of all the different publishing options, and just know that there's a million and one hybrids out there. And so just think about where you want to fit in. And I don't know about you, but I always was confused by all of that, because when I search for publishers, you know, you get pages and pages and pages, and I'm like, wait a minute, who are all these people? And now it makes sense to me on who all those people are that come up when you do a search for publishers. So do your due diligence, go to the Ohio Writers Guild course, click through, but if you click through on the mastermind, because it's less expensive and you get the course automatically. So click through on the mastermind, join us here the third Monday of every month at noon, and we will see you next time. Thank you so much for being with us today.
All the best, Thank Debbie.
You. Thank you. See you next month.
Great.
Bye.